wise men came from the east to worship one they had never seen. They brought rich gifts to one they did not even know. They were not Jews, yet they came to worship the King of the Jews. They were outsiders, yet their offerings were accepted. They had strange ideas about stars, but saw coherence in the whole world's plan. They grew in wisdom. For them, a king had come that would not be a tyrant. The little child was for them the focus of all meaning. This king would make all things new. They were dreamers who saw beyond the facts to the reality, and they went home changed. Come, come everyone from the east and from everywhere. Come and worship Christ, the newborn king. Come and be changed. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, this morning, as in every morning, we want to continue the journey of coming to you, of turning our eyes to see where you are and drawing near to those places and worshiping. And in worshiping you, receiving from you the gift of life, the gift of transformation. And so, Lord Jesus, this morning, we invite you to let your presence be known in this place. We invite you to find us in our wonderings, in our wanderings, in our questions, in our quest. And as we find you, knowing that you've already found us, would you stir our hearts to love you, to trust you, to obey you? This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who's been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." Would you pray with me? Father God, now as we turn to your word, we pray with the help of your Spirit, you would help us encounter the living Christ, just as these magi encountered him some 2,000 years ago. And encountering him, we pray that you would help us hear what it is you want us to hear, and so that you might help us be who it is you want us to be. And so ultimately, you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do, even if that means going home a completely different way. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're officially 6 days into the new year. How are the resolutions going so far? Yeah, all right, Will's still in. We got one. As I said earlier, I just love something about the new year. Even though on paper, very little really changes between December 31st and January 1st. If you were 10 pounds overweight the night of December 31st, you're probably going to be 10 pounds overweight on January 1st. I get that. But still, somehow, the 1st of January, more than any other time it seems, there's just something within all of us that dares to believe that some things might be possible in us and for us. Things that we would say are far too unlikely most other days. There's something in all of us, it seems, on New Year's that wants to believe that this might be the year. This might be the year for growth, for freedom, for experiences. This might be the year for change. And that's why I love Epiphany. Us Baptists are like, what does that mean? It's a thing. It's a thing, and we should know about it. Epiphany. It's the end of Christmas. Traditionally, Christmas starts with the coming of Christ on December 25th. There's 12 days, and then it ends with the Magi's visit. And so if you can remember, 2 whole weeks ago, we ended the year together in Advent, just waiting, longing together for Jesus to come and to show up in our world, in our hearts, in our home. And the good news is, he did. And we agreed together at that Christmas Eve service that we were going to let him into our hearts and into our homes once again, maybe for the first time. And that's a great service. But if you are like most of us, truth is, by now your life has probably already gotten pretty much back to normal. That Jesus, who was going to sneak into all those places of chaos and disappointment and doubt and darkness, it was really nice to have him around on Christmas Eve. But perhaps on January 6th, it just kind of feels like really not that much has changed. Same old routines, same old habits, same old bad news, same old everything, just back to the same. And this is why we need the Magi. This is why we need to journey to Bethlehem again today, 2 weeks removed from the manger. This is why. Because the Jesus who came at Christmas comes just the same on January 6th, believe it or not. The Jesus who enters into our special occasions enters just the same into our daily routines. This is Emmanuel, God with us. This Jesus still comes. And so today, let's journey with a few friends, maybe 3, maybe more, to meet this Jesus. What do you say? Men from the East. Astrologers by trade. That's really all we know about them. What brings them to Jesus? One thing I can decipher. One thing. Wonder. Wonder. You see, these guys aren't Jews. They're not even from Israel. They haven't grown up hearing prophets say that God's going to send a king someday. They don't find their way to Bethlehem that day by having all the right Sunday school answers or by just knowing more about God than anyone else knew about God. No, they didn't have any of that. These guys land right smack dab in the presence of the living God, Jesus Christ, simply because they were people who were willing to wonder. That's what they've given their lives to, after all. Astrologers, lives built around looking up. Astrologers, these are the kinds of people who choose to walk away from a world of overstimulation and simply look into the night sky, vast and silent as it is. Wonder. These are the kind of guys who can sit with one image for hours, taking it all in, just looking for something unusual. Recognizing beauty in this ball of gas light years away. Finding awe when others mindlessly pass by. Wonder. People who look to the sky, they're curious. They're always asking, where's that from? Has that been here before? What's it for? Why here? Why now? Could God be up to something new today? There are people that are always seeking a bigger picture. How does what's happening up there have anything to do with life down here? These are people who wonder. People who look to the sky, they are awake when others are sleeping. They take in what the world is missing. We call that wonder. People who look to the sky, they wait patiently for appearances. The stars show when the stars show. You can't hurry them along. This lack of control, this unknown of when and what will appear, the joyful anticipation of whatever may be. Wonder. A life of wonder. That's what describes these men who found Jesus. Just this wonder. One night in that wondering, they saw it. They saw that star that was unlike any other star they'd seen before. The star that beckoned any and all to stop whatever they were doing and follow it. Now you can bet that this star was visible to thousands of people those days. Thousands upon thousands. And who would respond but this handful of astrologers from somewhere out east? Of the thousands who saw it, only the few who were living lives of wonder were moved by it. An opportunity for all, embraced only by those who took time to wonder. This year, my friends, I pray that God would give us a renewed sense of wonder. I pray that we might be the people who are awake when everyone else is sleeping. And no, I'm not praying that we're all insomniacs. I like my sleep too. But what I'm praying is that we are awake to what God is doing and that we are joining him in it like never before. Because you see, the truth is, we live in a world where people are sound asleep to the God who is moving among us. And if we're honest, us good church people miss him just as much too. Asleep to the God who is shining bright before us because our schedules have no time to step aside and see him. Because our bodies are too self-medicated to ever really feel him. Because our priorities are too out of whack to ever really choose him. This year, I pray, maybe for the first year, that we'd cut out all the stuff. All the stuff that's keeping us from seeing the stars that say, Jesus is here. And in so doing, might we cultivate some space in our lives to be a people who wonder. Might we join the Magi in asking the questions, with ears turned to a God who might actually have something to say. God, I wonder, why here? Why now? God, I wonder, why have you placed me in this zip code? In this time in history? God, I wonder, is it random or is it for something? For something big. God, in this church, I wonder, why here? Why now? God, I wonder, what are your dreams for Belfair? God, I wonder, are we taking the risk you want us to take? I wonder, God, is there something new that you're stirring up around us? Something more that you want us to try? Something, God, you might want us to let go? God, I wonder what might happen if you had total say of my life this year. I wonder, when's the last time you joined the Magi in asking these kind of questions? I wonder questions. When's the last time you let yourself really wonder before the living God what he was up to right here and right now? Jesus reveals himself to those who wonder. In every generation, there's been a handful of people, who step away from the rat race to find the God who is here and who is now, while thousands of others just keep trudging through life as usual, totally unawares of that bright star right above them. I pray, my friends, I pray that we will be that handful of people in this generation, in this place, the people who dare to wonder, a people with eyes and hearts set on nothing less than that Jesus star, whatever it looks like, wherever it is. Wonder. It's what got these men to the manger, what kept them there. Simply this, awe and worship. They see the unusual star. They know that it signifies a king has come. So they gather their gifts quickly and off they go. When they get to Jerusalem, a likely place for a king to be found, they ask the first king they meet. His name is Herod. And this is why I prefer the name Magi to wise men. Because it is not a very smart move, if you ask me, to go to the reigning king and ask him to tell you all he knows about the one who's come to take his place. That's not a good thing. Really. Tell this insecure king that you've made a trip through deserts and countries across borders to come and to worship this other guy. Not a good idea. Yeah, tell me more, Herod says. Tell me more. Thanks be to God, they literally knew nothing more. They would have spilled all the beans on Jesus. I am sure of it. He says, well, then when you find him, how about you just come back and let me know all about him? I want to go and worship him too. Sure thing, Herod. So the Magi are off to Bethlehem. And they come to that house above which that star stood still. A knock on the door. Joseph answers. And can you imagine the look on his face? These three rich foreigners saying that they've come to his house to meet the king. And can you imagine what was going through their minds? Their expectations had sent them to the palace in Jerusalem to find a king because that makes sense. The star led them to this backwoods town, this modest home, a poor young couple seemingly as confused as everyone else. Joseph gives a sheepish nod to the crib. It's just us and our baby Jesus. He's who we think you've come to see. But Joseph didn't need to say a thing. Because you see, Jesus was enough. standing in his presence. It was enough for these men from afar to know that this was a king, and not just the king of the Jews, somehow their king. And if you've let yourself get close enough to this same Jesus, you know it too, don't you? That he's not just good news for some, but that he is good news for you. That he's not just a savior for those who know all the right answers about him and those who never do dumb things like turn him into Herod, but that he is the savior for you. That he's not just God's way of loving the world, but he's God's way of loving you. If you've ever let yourself get this close to him, you know exactly why the Magi did what they did, because you've done it too. Right there in that cramped little space, they bowed down and they worshiped. They gazed upon this child, this gift, their king, and they didn't dare move too soon. They wouldn't risk missing a thing. We don't know how long they stayed. If you've ever watched a children's Christmas play, they have the Magi leave as soon as they come. It's like they travel hundreds of miles, dispose of their gifts, and get on their way. That's probably not true. Remember, these guys are wanderers. They're not the types to be in a hurry. That's way too 21st century American. They spent their whole lives hoping not to miss out when God is up to something new. And here they are, front row seats to just that very thing. I can guarantee you they stayed a while. Nothing could be more important. Nothing could be more glorious than bowing down before Jesus, this king. Wonder brought them into his presence. Awe kept them there a while. I assume a long while. Eventually, one of them remembered that they had gifts. Oh, yeah. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh for Jesus. Strange gifts for a baby, appropriate gifts for a king. They bowed down. They gazed upon his face. They soaked up every moment in his presence. They gave him the best gifts they had to give. And I pray this year, the same for us. That a sense of awe might fill our worship. Awe that keeps us in the presence of our King. I wonder, when's the last time you just stood still and bowed down in awe of Jesus, your King? I pray this is the year of more of that. I pray when we come in these doors, we might actually know we're standing on holy ground. And there is nowhere else in the world that we'd rather be. I pray that we come to worship ready to participate in honoring our King. I pray that we'd sing out until our voices fail us, even if it's not our favorite song, because it's for Jesus, our King. I pray that we'd pray big, risky prayers, pouring out our hearts to Jesus, the King. I pray that when the pages of this book are open, that we would be on the edge of our seats, our hearts pounding, adrenaline running through our veins, believing the living God might have something to say, and to us, something that might change everything. I pray when we come to this table right here, we do it every month. I pray that it would never be routine, but that we would meet our King right here every time. And we would hear him say every time, "My child, it's me again." Still choosing to give all of my love to you. And I pray that we'd sit in awe, overwhelmed, being loved like that. And I pray in those quiet moments after the message, you know that bit of silence we have when we all get really uncomfortable? I pray instead of being awkward, we would look into our bags, into our hearts, and see what gifts we have for this King. I pray that some of us might give him everything. I mean, why not? And I pray some weeks when I come to turn the lights off that I'll have to wait a while longer because there's some folks who are lingering, just not quite ready to move on yet. They're stuck in awe, wanting to be in the presence of the King just a little while longer. That is my prayer, that we would be a people who daily draw near and fully worship Jesus our King, that we would simply be in awe of him once again. The Magi, wonder brought them to Jesus. Awe, worshiped, kept them near Jesus. And they went away changed by Jesus. The story concludes with this: having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. It's one of my favorite lines in all of Scripture. They went home another way. And you see, it's not like these guys were from there. They didn't know the best routes between Bethlehem and Persia. They knew the route, the one that everyone took, that easy, clearly marked, well-worn road. That's a tongue twister, well-worn road. They knew it. But something happened. Between that first meeting with Herod, when you find him, come tell me about him. And standing in awe before that baby, and emptying their pockets of all they had, and this mysterious dream that Herod was up to no good, something happened. These wanderers turned worshipers were all of the sudden holy risk takers. They had spent some time with Jesus, and they would go home another way. They would go home changed, even if it costs them everything. You see, not only are they ignoring direct orders from the King, they'd be killed if they were caught. Also consider what immediate awards they're foregoing, not turning Jesus' location into Herod. He would have lavished them with gifts, surely replacing everything that they had poured out for him. Oh, they could have used this encounter with Jesus to make something of themselves, for sure. They knew that. They weren't dumb. They were wise men. Instead, knowing all that they knew, they disappeared into the quiet, never to be heard from again. So unknown, even their names aren't recorded. And they didn't care. Who knows what might have happened if they had run to Herod and cashed in on their prize? Who knows what would have happened if they had gone home the same way? Would Jesus have made it to adulthood? Would Joseph and Mary have been spared? Who would have taken that baby to Egypt and kept him safe until Herod's reign was done? No, the Magi couldn't have known all the implications of their choice to let Jesus live in peace. But they were changed enough by being in his presence that the longer, harder road home was the way they chose. They chose on purpose the way that would let Jesus live. They met him and they went home another way. Because it turns out, when we seek Jesus and find Jesus and truly worship Jesus. We simply can't keep going back to life the same way we came. We can't. We join the Magi and we go a new way and we let Jesus live. Get that? It's a big deal. This year, I pray more and more that we will start going home by another way. Week after week, we come and we go. We sing and we pray and we open scripture. But how often do we go back the same way we came? How often by Sunday afternoon are we already back on that same route, doing the same things we were doing before we encountered Jesus? Entertaining the same bad habits that consumed us before we hung out with our King. How often do we come and soak up this hour in God's presence, but we leave with no real commitment to let this time with God change a thing about how our week is going to go, with no real intention of moving forward in forgiveness towards those who have hurt us? And leave not at all entertaining the idea of really loving our enemies. We leave in never decidedly choosing not to turn to our substance of choice the first time something gets hard this week. Over and over again, we come and we see Jesus and we worship him and we love him and we go home the same way. But I pray not this time, not this year. My friends, it's a new year for you and for me. And I don't know about you, but I am ready to discover some new roads. I am ready to be utterly changed by the God who meets us right here and right now. I am ready to defiantly ignore the pleas of Herod to come back the same way you came. Keep your comfort, keep your habits. All these things that put you in harm's way, stay away from those. All at the risk of letting Jesus slip away. I am ready to let Jesus live. More in me this year than I've ever let him live before. And my prayer, my desperate, tear-filled, gut-wrenching prayer is that we as a church are ready too. Truth is, our community is full of hurting, lost people who are begging us to be a people who try out some new roads, who really let change happen, who really let Jesus live in us so they might know how they get to live too. You see, it's a big deal, you guys. Wonder is great, worship is great, but it is a big deal going home another way. It's the grand finale of it all. Being changed so Jesus can shine in those places in your life that he has never been allowed to shine before. It is a big deal. Anyone been on the same old road too long? Returning to the same old thing too many times. Checking in with Jesus here and there, but not walking a path that he alone has led you to. Might this be the year of following the Jesus star, of walking the Jesus road? Might this be the year of wonder? Might this for you be the year of worship? Might this for all of us be the year of new, risky roads, faith-filled roads, real changed life with Jesus roads? Might this be the year? You see, church is out in less than 20 minutes. I hope you go home another way. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, might this be the year, might this be the day, might this be the day that we begin to let go of all the stuff that keeps us from wonder, that keeps us from noticing the beauty in the stories around us, that keeps us from looking to the skies, looking to our world, and trying for the life of us to get a grasp on what you're up to because we want to be a part. Might this be the day for wonder. Lord Jesus, might this be the year, might this be the day for worship, where it's not a routine. It's not just what we do on Sundays at 10. It's not just a couple songs that we like. But it's bowing down, standing in awe of the living God, giving everything we've got to give because we are just so overwhelmed with joy by who you are and what you've done. And might this be the year, oh God, of some new roads, real change, taking some faith-filled risk so that you, oh Jesus, might get to live fully in us. In living fully in us, fully in our community, in our world. Thank you that you make all things new. Make it new in us today, we pray. Amen.